You would like to turn in your Bibles to the second chapter of the book of Acts. We're continuing through this Pentecost story that we began last week that really is a direct follow-up to the Easter story, the resurrection story, the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. And so we're going to be picking up in Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Almighty God, as we open your word this morning, your inspired word, may you teach us as we read, may you teach us as we hear, may you teach us as we speak. May we hear everything that you would have us hear, may we learn everything that you would have us learn, may we be encouraged in ways we need to be encouraged, motivated in ways we need to be motivated, calmed in ways that we need to be calmed, and then may we go and do all that you are calling us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you were here last week, you may remember we talked about this great outpouring that took place at Pentecost, how the 11 had gathered in the upper room, as they were told. They had some 120 other followers with them, and then this thing happened that just appeared crazy, and it drew this other, much larger crowd around. There were thousands around at this point where we're starting today, and we know this because where we'll get in next week tell us that 3,000 were saved here, so there were at least that many more than the 130-some that were there with the as followers already. So they've come here, and they heard all this noise. They were speaking in languages of all those who had come. There was a point back in Isaiah, I think, can't remember which chapter, where God says that there will be a time when he will gather his people from among the nations and bring them back in. And there's actually another very interesting, I think it's in Isaiah 28, where it says that the prophets were drunk. And so God would use the language of other nations to speak to his people. Now we know in this case that these prophets were not drunk, as Peter's getting ready to tell us, but that was the appearance to some of the folks around, and maybe it drew them in their thinking to that passage from the prophet Isaiah. So the accusation made in 13 by some of the scoffers who were there, some, however, made fun of them and said they had too much wine. Then picking up in verse 14, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you supposed. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they will prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So those verses from 17 through 21, there are direct quotes out of the book of Joel, what Joel had prophesied in a day when the land was in desolation and worse was to come, much worse was to come for Israel. And God was saying, but there will be a day coming. There is a day that's going to come. And this is what Peter is saying. That day has come. This is the day that Joel spoke of all those centuries ago. That day is here. Listen. Listen to what I have to say. And then he goes on and he reads this stuff, or he quotes this from the prophet Joel. And just to explain a few things here, about a prophet, because he does talk about the prophet Joel. And I think it's good to talk about that word for just a minute so that we're all kind of on the same page of what we mean when we talk about a prophet or prophesying. A prophet or a prophecy is not a gift that allows someone to foretell the future. That's not what a prophecy is. That's not what a prophet does. A prophet is someone who is spoken to by God and gives that direct word to the people. It could be about the attributes of God. It can be about the law. It can be about a future event, but it's not the prophet's gift to see the future. God knows the future and tells some event or some warning to the prophet, who then shares it. So we want to be very, very careful about people who dabble in, you know, fortune-telling and that kind of thing. That's not of God. And we want to watch that. Is the gift of prophecy given to people? It can be. But that, again, is the gift to hear what God is saying and then deliver it directly to the people without any interpretation. The prophet says what God has told them to say. So that's what a prophet is. And then it talks about the last days, and we hear that phrase a lot. Sometimes we use the word the end times, and people want to know if we're in the end times, and I have mentioned this on occasion here. Let me tell you what the scriptures say about the end times. In 2 Peter, Peter tells about the end times and things that will happen in the end times. In a future sense, this will happen. Scoffers will come in the end times. In the book of James, it says, you are doing this in the end times. You're hoarding silver and gold. He's talking to people. You are doing this in the end times. And the book of Hebrews says, in the last days, God spoke to us through His Son. And He uses that in the past tense. So are we in the last days? Absolutely. The last days were ushered in when Jesus arrived. The last days are those times from when Jesus first came until the time that He comes again. Those are the last days. How many more of them are there? I have no idea. No one knows. Jesus spoke about that as well, right? He said, who knows? Only the Father knows. Jesus said He didn't know, but only the Father knows. So we don't need to concern ourselves about the timing. We just need to concern ourselves about the obedience during that time of the last days. Now let's talk about Peter for just a second, because Peter, who's one of my favorite guys in Scripture, just those first three words, Peter stood up. I want to think of other times that we've talked about Peter standing up. Peter stood up in the boat. He stepped out of the boat and stood on water briefly. And then losing faith, he sunk in the water. Peter stood up for Jesus when they arrested Jesus briefly. And then within a short time, three times, he denied even knowing Jesus. But now Peter's standing up, and he's standing up in the crowd that was responsible for Jesus' death. He's standing up facing the people who had crucified Jesus. And in next week's passage, we'll see how he confronts them about that. But Peter stood up here. He didn't falter. He didn't fall. He didn't sink. He didn't lose faith. He stood up and he begins to preach. And I particularly like this passage because this is the first Christian sermon. This is the first preaching done by the new church. And this is Peter preaching this, and he's doing it with faith and with conviction because of what had happened, because he had now received the Holy Spirit. Peter was able to stand, but he didn't stand alone. It tells us he stood with the 11, and that's important as well. There was unity from the very beginning in the first church. Now, they would go through some places where they had to discuss some things, and they didn't agree on everything. But there was unity still. And the importance of that unity, the importance of the church to function as a body. Peter was doing the speaking. But the rest didn't sit off in the corner and say, well, let's see what he says, and then we'll decide if we're going to stick with him or not. No, they didn't. They stood up with him in that moment because they were filled with the same Holy Spirit that Peter was filled with. They were filled with that same thing, that same breath of God that creates unity, that draws individuals into a body. And they were standing up as one. They stood up with Peter, unafraid, even though they were facing this crowd that had put Jesus to death. He corrects them in their thinking about those who are, whether they're joking or whether they're making a serious accusation about the drinking of the apostles. He straightens them out and he says, this has now happened. What was spoken by the prophet Joel, this has happened. It's here. The day of the Lord has come. This thing that we had looked at for years, for centuries, for generations, passed on. These stories passed on. These stories from Isaiah and from Ezekiel and from Joel. These great prophecies of the day of the Lord coming. It's here. You don't want to miss it. It's here. Look, listen to me. And he goes through these things. And what all these things mean, I don't know. And there's a lot of suggestions about what they mean. When they talk about the blood and fire and billows of smoke, the sun turned to darkness and the moon to blood, those match up very well with a lot of the second coming things that we can read in Revelation. They had just seen the sun turn to darkness just a few weeks before on the day that Christ was crucified. But what the wonders and signs are, I don't know completely what they are. But the end of that is a statement that I know exactly what it means. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Doesn't need interpretation. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is going to happen when the Spirit that is poured out, it says the Spirit will be poured out on all people. Think about who all people are. It's not just the folks sitting here in this room this morning. It's not just the folks sitting in Delaware or this country. All people. God says it will be poured out on all peoples. Everywhere. And they have a gathering here from other countries, so part of that was represented there, but there was a thing to come. And who is going to be involved with this? Well, according to God speaking through Joel, everybody, sons and daughters, young and old, even servants, are going to dream dreams and prophesy and see visions. They're going to do the things that will bring about everyone being able to call on the name of the Lord. Church, we can be part of verse 21. We can be part of verse 21. First, by calling on the name of the Lord ourselves. But also by being part of verse 17. How do you imagine the Spirit of God being poured out? If you were to imagine that. We see this image at Pentecost of the Holy Spirit and that mighty thing taking place, this kind of revival kind of atmosphere in which something that's miraculous in our eyes will take place. And that has happened and can happen and may yet happen again. But there's a much more personal way. Jesus speaking in John 7, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from him. Whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from him. And what does that mean? Well, John explains it for us. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. That's what we saw last week at Pentecost. Those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. But by the time we get to the second chapter of Acts, Jesus had been glorified and those had received the Holy Spirit. And now, from that time forward, everyone who received Jesus receives the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus was saying. Whoever believes in me will receive that Spirit, and that Spirit will pour out like streams of living water. That's what Joel was saying before, and that's what Peter is quoting Joel as saying. You, friends, will receive the Holy Spirit. And as we go out following the Great Commission to all peoples, that Holy Spirit will pour out on all peoples and all nations. Isn't it amazing that God chooses, the God who can send the Holy Spirit into a room and have a raging wind and tongues that look like fire and all that stuff? Isn't it amazing that He chooses to use you and I? That we can receive the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus, and it will pour out of us. That's how the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all people. That's at least one way that the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all people. We can see many things happen from the 21st verse. We can see many people calling on the name of the Lord to be saved if we will be obedient and let the Holy Spirit pour through us. I've used this example many times. I'm going to use it again, the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. Some of you are nodding your heads because you've heard it. Maybe you've heard it one too many times. Well, here comes one more. The Jordan River flows south. It flows into the Sea of Galilee and out. And then it flows in to the Dead Sea and not out. And then the Sea of Galilee, which receives and gives, there's teeming life, abundant life in the Sea of Galilee. And then the Dead Sea that receives but does not give, well, there's a reason it's called the Dead Sea. And we know that it has to do with concentration of salt and all that, but if water flowed through it, that would change. Now, that's an example in nature. But it's true for us. If we choose only, or if we seek only to receive from God, we will not have that abundant life that's promised to us. But if we will receive and give, if we will let the Holy Spirit flow through us, streams of living water flowing through us, then that will pour out on the whole world. You might say, well, I don't see myself as a missionary. I don't plan on going to Africa. Well, do you plan on going to work tomorrow? Maybe not tomorrow, it's a holiday. Do you plan on going to work Tuesday? Do you plan on going to school on Tuesday? Do you plan on visiting a neighbor or maybe a relative? They're part of all the people in the world. If they don't know Jesus, and you do, don't worry about what to say. Jesus said this to his disciples. Don't worry about what to say or how to say it. It won't be you speaking, but the Spirit speaking through you. Just be open and let it happen. Let the Spirit of God work. Be open to opening your mouth. Be open to closing it. You know, we need to know what to say, and we need to know sometimes what not to say. But the truth is, we can see what Peter saw. You see, this started off with a bang. If you read through Acts, you see all this kind of stuff. There's a reason it's called Acts. It's the action. It's the stuff that took place. And it started off with a bang. But I'm afraid in most parts of the world now, it's been reduced to a whimper. But it's not over. The final chapter has not yet come to be. And God is still looking at us, saying, here it is, I'm pouring out on you. He's not stopped pouring out His Holy Spirit. What are we going to do? I say we pop the cork and let it flow. Amen.